After what feels like decades of concern that conservative political ideologies have had a monopoly on the language of faith and values in this country, especially during electoral campaigns, 2020 changed all that. We saw an openly gay, openly Christian candidate for president of the United States make his faith a prominent part of his identity and his message. We saw other progressive candidates explain how the values they hold are not in spite of their faith, but because of their faith. And we saw a progressive Catholic elected to the highest office in the land, a man who has spoken of the importance of his religious background for his entire career in public service. President Joe Biden has been through a lot of personal losses, and he's always credited his faith and his family for getting through them. But now he's the leader of a diverse, pluralistic nation with a growing number of people who identify with no faith tradition, a constitutionally secular nation that has seen a narrow sectarian version of religion forced upon it in creative and insidious ways. So what now? The Reverend Adam Nicholas Phillips is co-founder and executive director of Faith 2020, a broad coalition of religiously motivated people by their convictions to work for change in our national leadership. And he's the perfect person to take on that question. Adam, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
As you look at the margin of victory for the Biden-Harris ticket, as well as the effective defense of that victory against unprecedented assaults on it, how important do you think the participation of people of faith has been?
Oh, I think that the participation of people of faith across the country, across religious traditions, across party affiliation was consequential in this election. I think the media narrative has often focused on white evangelical Trump support, but I think that's not the story. I think the story is that we've just inaugurated one of the most faithfully active in the public square presidents in terms of his spirituality, his leadership, deeply rooted in the Catholic tradition. And so, and faith voters saw that on the campaign and responded in faith, if you will.
What would you say were the most important parts of the Faith 2020 message, and how should they now translate into an agenda going forward?
Yeah, Faith 2020 was started as the pandemic really hit the U.S. I remember I was in my car on a conference call with some friends in middle of March. And we thought, well, we're going to have to organize differently because we're not going to be able to knock on doors. We're not going to be able to be in church or synagogue basements. We're not going to be able to do the things that you can usually do in an election campaign. And so what can we do differently? And we thought, well, let's mobilize digitally at scale. And so we were on Zooms with Stacey Abrams, Al Gore, Pete Buttigieg, Congressman Clyburn. But then we also were running these digital ads in battleground states. And I think the message we had that was most effective was we are a big tent, multi-faith coalition of folks keeping the faith. And keeping the faith at the ballot box was choosing hope over fear, which was a critical message from President Biden on the campaign. And so when we think about that, what is it that unites us rather than divides us? You know, faith has been used as a weapon, a cudgel. Even I come out of the evangelical tradition, that the Bible has been used as a weapon, you know, to divide. And we saw that with the 45th president in those horrific scenes with tear gas holding the Bible for that photo op. So I think it's a unifying message. It's not a message without accountability either. We, you know, justice is not just forgetting what happened, but maybe, at least in my tradition, this kind of Christ-centered tradition, that what does reconciliation look like? What does unity look like? What does neighborliness look like? And how do we do that together?
Well, for many years, it has been so frustrating to watch the political religious right hijack the language of faith and morality for its own narrow partisan purposes. I think Faith 2020 and its partners has done a tremendous job organizing around shared values and vision without getting dogmatic or exclusionary.
Yeah.
Just personally, I'd love to hear what your feelings are about what you've done.
I mean, I'm very humbled to be part of it. I, you know, 2020 was a year for the history books, and in some ways it feels like it's continuing into 2021. So grateful to see the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris yesterday. Breathed a sigh of relief when I saw them walk into their respective offices and get to work. I think we have to be careful in our politics to not divide, but also to be bold and to not just be against something. And so it felt at times that so many of us were just against what was happening in the country. And I think that we have a unique leadership moment with President Biden that's calling us to our better angels, if you will. And so I'm proud to be part of that effort. And you know, for me, like, I've been on the other side of exclusion in the evangelical church. I have the battle scars from it. And I really took that mantra seriously, choosing hope over fear. Like, we didn't have to divide, you know?
Yeah.
There will be some issues where we will divide in terms of policy, of course, but how do we be neighborly in this journey together? And I think that's what I was most proud of, and also proud of with Faith 2020's effort to do these digital ads on Facebook and social media in Arizona, Florida, Pennsylvania that were bilingual too. So we were reaching out. These were ads made by and with and for Latinx Christians and Catholics. And I'm really proud of that effort too.
Yeah. Adam, you and I are both Baptist pastors. As you've already mentioned, we have the marks on our body and in our souls about what comes from doing that. I struggle to imagine how almost any of the Americans of faith who bought into the political zealotry that so shamelessly promoted the ex-president in religious terms could relate once again to the rest of us. I'm sure you've thought about that. I'd like to know what you've thought.
Well, it's tricky, and it's personal, and this is a phenomenon that's happening in our creations, in our families, in our neighborhoods. So much of what's going on is projection and exploitation of these rich traditions that have their flaws and have their stories that don't make the mark. And yet they can literally be bombs for us in this moment of pandemic and racial division. And so, again, just trying to do the work, the inner work to go deeper so that, you know, we can be present to one another.
Yeah.
And again, I used to make jokes about this, and maybe you'll find this, maybe you'll resonate with this. Back in 2016, I started to think, wow, we need to open up interfaith dialogue with our evangelical brothers. Most of them are brothers, because something's amiss here. We definitely seem to have different Jesuses, at play here. And so I don't want to just do interfaith dialogue. I want to be interfaith action. We got a lot of work to do, whether it's police reform, whether it's climate change, whether it's the global pandemic. Like, I think we can come together and do some good work if we can figure out how to do that faithfully.
Yeah. I know that you yourself are no partisan, and I wonder what you need to see from the incoming administration to be satisfied that all your hard work and trust, along with that of so many other leaders, was not misplaced. What do you want to see?
Well, I feel like I'm already seeing it. President Biden yesterday signed, 17, I think, executive orders, working on everything from climate to immigration to kind of the health of the nation in terms of our racial disease that we are experiencing, this pandemic of racism that we've been awakened to, that our neighbors and sisters and brothers have been struggling against for hundreds of years. So I'm already seeing the things that I was hoping and praying for, you know, and President Biden said to keep the faith. And I think that in order to keep the faith, that's not just sentimentality, that's not just words, but it's action. And so as we see in these first 100 days, progress on the pandemic, progress on policing, progress on climate, I think we'll see more and more, more and more examples of what we were hoping and working for. So I'm very optimistic.
What role do you envision for Faith 2020 going forward?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we're talking about is how might we be involved in statewide races? You know, how do we support progressive Democratic candidates up and down the tickets to keep the faith, and really, literally to not give up on the faith-rooted voter, because the faith-rooted voter is someone that cares about the neighborhood around them, cares about the economy, cares about the planet, cares about America's role in the world. And I think if we can demonstrate that through perhaps midterm elections, perhaps statewide races, and to really show that the Democratic Party is the party of values. The Democratic Party is the party of faith and values, and not in the old culture war mentality, right? But in a new American, inclusive, equitable mentality. And we're starting to see that. So again, this big tent, multi-faith fabric of the nation, I think is really helpful. And so we're looking at ways to go to work on state races. We're looking at ways to go to work in the midterms coming up, which I hope to get a couple nights sleep before we start working on that. We just got out of a campaign. But also looking at issues like around police reform, climate, LGBT rights, human rights, economy, immigration. So yeah, those things.
I want to ask you a question, because I've been asked this question so many times. Of people saying, well, why did you just get out of the ministry? When someone says that to you, what do you say?
Oh, well, I mean, I've always seen my vocation as my calling as across bridging the divide that too often happens between the sanctuary and the public square. Yeah. And so I find this to be ministry, you know, this is my ministry. I've been a church planner. I've been a pastor. I've been guest preaching for churches on Zoom. So I'm still doing the work of a minister. And see a plumb line of the work, you know, whether it's doing advocacy on issues that matter, whether it's electoral politics or whether it's congregational life.
Yeah. God has a bigger vision than most people think, I believe. And that's what I wanted to hear from you and hear our people from you. Tell our listeners, please, where can they learn more about what you're doing and how can they get involved in this work?
Yeah, you can check us out at faith2020.org or on social media, Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, at faith20us. I'm on Twitter, Phillips A-N. You can find me on Facebook, Adam Nicholas Phillips. Those are the ways to plug in right now, and we'll be looking to get involved in the first 100 days to keep the faith.
The Reverend Adam Nicholas Phillips is co-founder and executive director of Faith 2020, a coalition that was deeply involved in activating persons of faith around electoral priorities from a moral and values-driven perspective. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Be safe.